Let's Talk with Al Harris. Let's Talk, a public affairs program of KUGR Radio. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Al Harris.
Thank you very much, and welcome to today's edition of Let's Talk. My guest this morning, a local author, and he's currently on tour promoting the third book of a trilogy called The Diploma. The three books are Scholarship Classroom and the third book, The Diploma. We welcome him back to our show. He's been with us a number of times. Please welcome, if you would, Mr. Alex Price. Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm not hearing you.
Am I on there?
There we go. It doesn't like what I'm hearing.
Hello.
How about now?
The other headset?
Are you there?
I can hear a little bit.
How about now?
Yeah, I can hear me now.
I can hear you too.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Welcome to the program this morning, Alex. Good to have you back. Wow. I say local. You live here?
Yes.
Born and raised in Big Barney.
Yep. So it's a great area. I love this area of Wyoming. It's got such diversity, mountains and deserts and everything. And just the other day, I seen a couple of big old bull elk over by Black Butte.
Did you?
So
all right.
I got some pictures of them.
Tell us about the trilogy.
The trilogy kind of... It sparked from some stuff that a friend was going through when they were dealing with some issues here in Rock Springs in Sweetwater County. And I was just hearing some of the stories and everything. I thought that if I was to do something like this and build a program that would help people with addiction or other issues that people get in trouble with, and I asked myself, what would I do? And that's how this story sprung about. And so I used designed some characters that would create some real life scenarios that people would go through, and I just started writing it down and in a fashion that, like, when I grew up, reading Lewis L'Amour, and he wrote such strong characters that I tried to emulate that when as an adult. And so I wanted to kind of reach out as, and in a sense, this is kind of like me being a parent. I wanted to pass on some of that like parental advice, like, hey, this is, it's not rocket science, but you just got to put a few common sense things together and live your life.
So you wrote it with an intended message.
Yeah, it's a fun story, but it's also has an underlying message, and for anybody that reads it can gain something from it, I'm sure.
You know, Alex, I wouldn't call it fun. It was fun to read, but it was a riveting story. It was attention grabbing. And it was one when you really could get into the character.
Yeah, that's the whole point is having something that somebody can relate to, even if it's just a small part. It's like, well, hey, I was abused as a child, and so this character was too. What did they do? How did they overcome this problem? And that's. What I wanted to do is provide something that, even though it's a fictional character, these type of scenarios are real.
When you started, did you know it was going to be three books?
No, I thought it would be just one to start with.
What happened along the way?
I got about halfway into it and realized that there's much more to the story than this, and the program that I designed couldn't be told in just one whole sitting. It had to be told in like three parts, and it's like the beginning part of where I kind of describe how a person is conditioned to be able to open their mind to learn of new ideas, new concepts, a different way of living life. And then part two is like the marathon of like, yeah, this is, it's not a sprint. Life isn't a sprint. Life is a marathon. It's a really long marathon that you get up every day and you go back out and run some more. And then the reward in the end with the diploma kind of shows the fruits of all your labors. And when you look back and say, yeah, even though it looked hard in the beginning, it was, if I took it day by day, then the reward is well worth it in the end.
But even in the last book, it wasn't just a reward. What was learned in the classroom was severely challenged.
Yes.
And there were difficult decisions yet to be made, even after that learning process.
Yes.
I don't know if you meant it this way, but I kind of found it as the final test. It was the final exam as to whether you got there or not, how you passed those challenges.
So the trilogy is designed to kind of lay out a network of like little bits of information to kind of like what people go through in high school. They don't give you everything you need in life. They give you the basic tools that help you go to the next level or go to trade school or college or just straight to the workforce. It's just that blanket of everything that you're going to need. Where in this trilogy, it's more intense, more in-depth on because they are problem, like people who have problems and they don't know how to overcome that. And so there's therapies that the characters go through. They have like weekly, sometimes daily counseling sessions to overcome whatever problem that they have, whether it's addiction or other things that the character would happen to get in trouble for.
Life skills.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to give the audience the impression that this is a psychology book or a psychiatry book, even though I think there are a lot of gems in there. It really is a story, and a fun story to read, but it's intense at times.
Yeah. So, and people go through those intense moments at times.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I tried to portray is, like, if you are faced with something that's intense like that, then there's, I learned a lot of how to deal with confrontation by reading Louis L'Amour. And then this here, I wanted, because Louis L'Amour is kind of like our generation back in the day, he's maybe not so popular now, maybe this is the new generation.
Maybe not popular now, but I read him, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Did you read a lot as a kid?
I did. I get free time and in school, I'd go to the library and I'd just sit down and read. But as soon as I was done with college and everything, I quit reading.
Well, there's a lot of demands in life. Reading,
yeah,
sometimes gets pushed to the side.
Yeah.
I went through a spell I didn't read, but I'm reading now again. But you were a reader, but you weren't a writer.
No, I'd always daydream about fantastic stories, but I just never wrote anything down. I didn't figure anybody would ever want to see what's inside my head.
What sparked that? I mean, because now, as a very young author, I mean, you've done a trilogy. That's usually is later in an author's career.
So, the spark of writing, it came from my daughters did something that made me mad, and I wanted to write like a short story as an example of how they made me mad, and like put in a sense try and put the shoe on the other foot. And then I forgot what I was mad at them about, but I thought it was kind of a neat little story, so I figured, well, let's just see where it goes. And that was the first one we talked about, Anger to Rage.
That's so, where that came from.
Yeah. So.
Well, it kind of sounds like the writing was good therapy.
It was. I was at that time, I was going through a difficult time in my life, and instead of taking it out on other people, I put it all into my writing. And in a sense, it was just therapy for me. And when I finished that book, it kind of put the cap on that difficult part. It says, okay, I've dealt with it. It's on the shelf. And
move on.
Time to move on, exactly.
I read that book, and I've read just about everything you've written. And I want to say this so it sounds right. If I didn't know, I wouldn't know it was the same author.
Yeah.
My journey here has been watching you grow as an author. It's been really a fascinating thing for me to see.
And it's I got to attribute it a lot to my editor, Tracy. She's done a phenomenal job. She'll take a paragraph and completely flip it upside down and make it sound 10 times better. My job is to come up with the idea and the basic layout, and she just does an amazing job to make me sound fantastic. So I can't take all the credit for everything, but I did notice that I have grown, and as in my writing, like this trilogy has, I think it's some of my best writing. And
I think by far, I mean, the third book, I truly think is better than the first. It's just, yeah.
So on the first book, I might go back and look over that one again, see if I can brush it up a little bit. But just because I got
it's history now. It's history.
No, it's not quite history because I got the sequel coming out next year.
All right, let's talk about what's coming out. What are you working on?
I have like three different projects I'm working on. One that I am going to get done is the sequel to Anger to Rage. So I'm hopefully looking for that around the first part of July, about the time that all these events kick off again. And then after that, there's another one that I started. It's called The Hit. And
oh, you told me about that, I think, when I interviewed you at Big Piney.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's about an assassin who takes a contract to kill this person, and during his research he finds out that it's his own kid. So now he's got that moral decision to what to do about his about this situation. So, and then I also have another one. I really want to get a book out for like younger audiences, like middle grade. And because there's so many kids that show up and they're looking for something to read, and some of my material isn't really geared toward the younger audience. So,
for the most part, this trilogy you did, I thought, was pretty PG rated.
It's PG rated, but the reason I say it's more for adults, because it does deal with a lot of, there's some adult situations in there. Yeah,
and it deals with adult issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So the book, and we'll talk about availability, but getting the book out has been a learning experience.
About $10,000 of wrong roads. So.
But that's I think all new authors struggle with that.
The road, and with any new direction in life, there's always a huge learning curve, and mine cost me $10,000 just listening to some really bad advice and not growing from the ground up. And so this guy that was helping me out, he wanted me to throw out all this money, and he says, oh yeah, you're going to do good. The only person doing good was his pocketbook.
All right, so in terms of that, and to aspiring authors, starting out, what's the best thing you can do?
The best thing is to write on a daily basis. and really get in writing groups that you can find them easily online. There's so many different groups online that can help you out, and I've learned so much more from them than anyone else. And it's all free advice. It's right there. It's there's groups on how to publish, who to go through. One of the hardest ones is finding a good editor that will really help you out. And they're out there, but it's just a matter of just finding the right one that you work well with. I'm fortunate to have Tracy, my editor, help me out on the, especially these last three books.
What's the best thing you can do with that challenge of getting published? I mean, you said you went down a lot of wrong roads.
It's the path of how much work do you want to put into it? Because no matter what, you're responsible for marketing your book. If you're traditionally published, you still have to go out and market your book, but you might have some helping hands along the way. The difficult part is getting a traditional publisher to say, yeah, I'll sign you on and we'll see what you can do. But it's still up to you to market your book and to make sales. One of the things that traditional publishers look at is how big a following you have on all your social accounts, Facebook, Twitter, and all that. If you have 10,000 followers, then they'll be like, okay, yeah, we'll help you out, because
10,000 is quite a few.
Yeah, they'll
unless you're a movie star or something.
they're in the business of making money just like we are. And but if you're like me and you start off with only just a handful of friends, then they're not even going to look at you. That's
so what I'm hearing you say, Alex, is that it's one thing to want to write. It's one thing to get the job done. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is nothing's going to happen until somebody buys the book.
Exactly. So, and...
What you're telling me is you have to be, as a writer, actively involved in that effort.
Exactly. Yeah, it's...
Did you know that going in?
No, not to the extent that I am now. The fun thing about when I was here in Rock Springs at the Wyoming's Big Show was seeing some of the people who've read my books before, and it was great to see, it was like their eyes would light up. It's like, oh, you got more books. And they'd come racing right over and says, I have those two. I need those three. And so it was good to be out and see people again. And that's what I really enjoy, is just seeing them come and say, oh, I loved it. When's the next one coming out? Why haven't you wrote the sequel to the first one yet?
So the ball starts to roll slowly.
Yes. And so, but once you get that momentum going, you just got to keep it going.
When it comes to publishing and getting your book out, what's the worst thing to do?
I really haven't thought of that. I think the worst thing to do is to alienate your audience. That's the worst thing. And I think I've been kind of guilty of that over the past few months. I need to get back online and keep promoting and that. But being consistent with putting something out, even if it's just short stories. And I have a couple of short stories, and they're ready to send off to the editor, and then I'll be posting them on my website here pretty soon.
So your editor does not do the publishing?
No, I do all the publishing.
Is she strictly an editor?
Yeah, she's just strictly the editor, and I typically have her go through it twice, and she get all the big stuff taken care of the first time around, and then the second time it's a proofread, and that's when I send it back to her where it's completely formatted from cover to cover. And she'll mark out, it's like, hey, here's something wrong, here's a little typo, hey, what about turning these two words around? And I also learned something new recently. I didn't know what a stacked word was.
A what?
A stacked word.
I don't know.
So on the, when looking at the page, you got the on the right hand side, you'll see like the last word in each line. Now, if you have a stacked words means that on three consecutive lines, you'll have like his on one side. And so she went back, she goes through and she looks for that. And that's like one of those minor details that you really don't think about.
And you don't want that.
And so it's kind of inconsistent. So when you get done with the line, you might misunderstand and then go back and read the same line again. I'm sure you've done that a time or two.
Oh, yes.
But it's just having the lines different enough so that your mind tracks where you're at on the page and you can read the story consistently.
So a subconscious thing that makes it easier on the brain.
Yes.
I would never have thought of that.
I don't know what it was. I had to ask her, and she actually sent me a picture because she couldn't explain how what a stacked word was. But as soon as I seen like three exact words stacked on top of each other on the right hand side, I'm like, okay, I understand now.
As soon as you saw that picture, it made sense.
Oh yeah, so I understood what she was talking about. It was just that little tidbit of what makes a good editor.
You've been on the road. Promoting your book, promoting the trilogy.
Yep.
Give us a rundown of where you've been. Give us an idea of what you've put into your marketing.
So I took 5 weeks off, and I started off at the Central Wyoming Fair and Rodeo.
And that was Casper.
In Casper. And so I did pretty good there. And then we went on to Bozeman, Montana. Did a little bit better there. And I sold, I think, 60-some books in Bozeman, and that was my first time up there. And it was still a little bit slow. They didn't have a whole lot. I don't think the crowds were really comfortable coming back out yet. So it's kind of fighting the after effects of COVID, and some people aren't ready to come back out, and other people are just raring to go. And it's so you learn a little bit on each event on what works good and what doesn't. And then from there we went to Big Piney, and I seen you up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did pretty good for a small town like that, and got to meet a bunch of old friends and everything, catch up a little bit. And then
in fact, if I recall, I'll let the folks know, when I saw Alex, he said something about he was in the museum. So was that kind of...
Yeah, kind of. I can say I'm a museum piece, I guess.
But there was a old yearbook there.
Yeah, there's an old yearbook, and I went thumbing back through it, and there I was, my second grade picture, and like, boy, I looked kind of goofy back then.
But here I am in the museum.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go, you went to Big Piney, and from there,
went back here to the Wyoming's Big Show in Rock Springs.
Yeah,
and that was a good time. I really enjoyed that, and just seeing a lot of familiar faces, and some people I just didn't recognize, and it's like, well, yeah, I bought this 2 years ago, and so I'm ready for the next two, you know. And it was really good to
no place like home, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then from there we went to Cheyenne, Cheyenne was a little tougher just because it was the Frontier days overshadowed it, and I think everybody was kind of blown all their money on Frontier days.
You know, when you said that, my first thought was, wow. I mean, I would just expect that the Laramie County Fair in Cheyenne would be a big deal. But Frontier days is the big deal.
Yeah.
And they come on a week later.
Yeah, a couple of weeks prior to the
state fair.
The county fair there, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I guess when you're competing with Cheyenne Frontier Days, you probably have a tough row.
Yeah, it's everybody only has so much money, and they
come to the carnival, the rides, the midway, and everything else at Frontier Days.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And was that your last stop on this tour?
Yeah, that was the last one, and then in October, we're going to go visit some relatives out in Pennsylvania. So I found a little festival. I'm going to set up a little booth out there.
Good for you. So, All right. We've talked about it, but where do we get it? Where can we get the books?
Okay. Right now, I just dropped a few off, the diplomas off at Sidekicks Book and Wine Bar and on Broadway in Rock Springs. Mm-hmm. And Red White Buffalo down here in on the Tomahawk Building on off of Flaming Gorge Way. They've been doing a fantastic job of helping locals out. And Sweetwater Trophies and Gifts has a few in there. And then also the Red White Buffalo has sister stores in Lander and soon-to-be Riverton now.
Okay.
So they'll have my books up there, too.
All right. Are they available online?
They're available online. You can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and tell them, it's like, hey, I'm looking for this author with this book, and they should be able to pick it right up. Or you can go to my website, and with the and I have direct links that'll take you straight there. That address is alexrpriceauthor.com.
alexrpriceauthor.com, and that's the website. You have a Facebook page too, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I'm just going to play with this as we're doing this. But I'm going to... yeah, just like that. Boom. Pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
Okay, very good, very good. Any of those places also have the two earlier ones, the scholarship and the classroom?
Yes. So,
you can get all three of them.
You can get all three of them there, yep.
At one time. Folks, I highly recommend it. It's and just because I think it's the right way to do it, it's only me, I think you should start with the first book first.
I've had some people, I had one person pick up and say, oh, they bought the classroom, says, oh, I want to buy this one. And I think they were a teacher or something like that, and I thought that was just geared toward, they thought that that's what to do. So I'm like, so just out of spirit, I told her, I just gave her the first book as well. So like, here, start with the one.
So you would agree, start with the first book.
Yeah, start with the first one, and then it starts the story, gets all the characters lined out, and you understand. Because by starting in the middle, it's like with any book, it's like, okay, was there something before? Did I miss out on some pertinent information?
Well, the book will stand on its own, but the character was well developed, I thought, in the first book. Mm-hmm. And you bring that with you in your head when you read the second book.
Yes.
And I think that makes it more intriguing, more interesting, and you get a better picture of what the challenges are. Because, you know, it's one thing to overcome something, but if you don't know what it was they were trying to overcome, it kind of loses some of its, I think, significance.
Yeah. So it's, I think one of the things in the first book was overcome, it mimics, I call it mimicking everyday life. So one of the things in the first book that the characters have to do is they haul a boulder to the top of this hill and then send it back down to the bottom on a zip line. And they do this over and over and over and over.
Well, yeah. Let me add to that. Not only do they do this over and over and over, but that's the job.
Yes.
The job is to take this boulder to the top of the hill.
Yes.
And when you get up there, it just goes to the bottom, and you have to go down and take that boulder to the top of the hill. And I mean, my first response. I think anybody's first response is, this is stupid. I mean, there's nothing to be accomplished here.
So in a sense, it's a lot of like everyday life. I mean, everyday life, you do the same thing over and over and over. And even though it doesn't seem like you're making progress, that's what it mimics. It mimics all the mundane tasks that you take for granted or you know you have to do, and you do them anyway. And that's just a daily thing. You have to do all these tasks in order to move forward. And sometimes you think to yourself, like, God, what's the point of doing this?
Well, exactly. What's the point?
And so then...
And you get up the next day and do it again.
Uh-huh. So, and, but in the end, just like on the third, like I was telling you on the third book, you look back and it's like, I did accomplish a lot.
Yeah. It did. Well, again, remarkable, this third book. It was such a joy to read and so well done. It's been fun to watch.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And do you have another event planned for here anytime soon, like before Christmas or anything?
That's what I'm researching. I'm seeing what craft fairs are available, and I'm going to go from there, try and get some those holiday craft fairs lined up do something like that.
All right. Alex, thanks for coming, and I always enjoy having you on the air. Appreciate you sharing with us your story and your stories and your books.
All right. I appreciate it.
Alex Price, my guest this morning, local author, and highly recommend his trilogy. It starts out with The Scholarship. Second book is The Classroom. Third book is The Diploma. I assure you, it will be an enjoyable read. That's 17 away from 11. This is KUGR Green River Rock Springs, part of the radio network. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow morning at 10:10, El Carollo and Marty Carollo, my guest, to talk about the history of cable television in Sweetwater County. As you know, came to an end, I think, 1st of August. But yeah, we'll talk about that. Past, present, Marty says maybe the future. That's tomorrow.